A Friday on a holiday weekend, the 4th of July, as we have the chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson. And as always, it's brought to you by the good folks at Henderson and Watercutty. A couple of guys, and they're practicing law in Missouri and Illinois. See what they offer at stlcriminaldefense.com. stlcriminaldefense.com. And Ben, as we kick off this 4th of July weekend, happy 4th of July weekend to you and yours. How are things going?
Man, back at you. Things are good. I'm excited to, be seeing some of Busch Stadium here Friday morning. It's a chance to actually get back to the ballpark and see what this is going to look like, this summer camp. And it's going to be weird. It's going to be strange. It's going to take some getting used to, but I'm excited that at least there's going to be an attempt. So fingers crossed, we'll hope it works out. But ideally, going back to spring training, I think my bet was that we'd be maybe having a baseball season start on the 4th of July, but instead it's so-called summer camp, which is not ideal, but certainly better than the alternative.
So you're headed to the ballpark today to at least observe. Maybe you could explain to the fans how that works. There's tier one, tier two, tier three. How does this work for the media and what you're going to be involved with the Post-Dispatch?
Sure. So there's the media, at least for my side of things, is in tier three, which is the furthest from the players, for at least for the time being. What was normal is going to be not an option. I mean, there will be no interviews in the clubhouse. There'll be no, grabbing somebody as they're walking out the field for a few minutes after batting practice. We're going to be in the building, but that's about it for now. And I think everybody's understanding of that as we try to kind of do the best we can, and hopefully over time there's some changes that are able to be made. But right now it's going to look like showing up, getting your temperature taken to make sure you're good to go, and then you'll pretty much be as isolated as possible in the press box. They're going to spread folks out, have distancing between everybody. Everybody's going to be wearing masks, and we'll be able to watch the events live. However, there will not be live in-person interviews. There'll be Zoom interviews after the workouts are over. Hopefully some players drop it in there. The Cardinals have set up a Zoom room of sorts in the facility that they're going to have guys go in and talk, and that's going to be how we do it for now. Hopefully, I think if things go well, maybe there's some sort of distance, press conferences, things like that can happen later on, but we're going to start slow and go from there. So, people say, well, why do you need to be there in person? And it's a fair question, although I do think it is always different to be there and watch something with your own eyes. There's always things that you can see that maybe a broadcast doesn't show, and the broadcasts are going to do a great job of showing everything that is going on in the game. So it's our job to try to show a little bit beyond that. I think too, the thing is, it's going to be a story in and of itself, what it's like to see this thing play out with no one there, other than the people who have been deemed necessary. So that's a story in and of itself. So it's not as we thought anybody would want it, Dan, but it's the best we can do right now. And everybody's pulling in the same direction, and the Cardinals have been helpful, and the PR staff has been helpful in trying to figure out a way to make this work. So we're all going to try to make the best out of it.
There's so many storylines going into this summer camp. I mean, you could go in so many different directions. So what's at the top of the Ben Fredrickson storylines for you? What are you looking forward to watching as you head to Busch Stadium tomorrow?
Well, we talking including the elephant in the room here of coronavirus, or are we talking baseball specifically? Because they're two very different silos, if you will.
Any direction. What do you think?
Sure. Well, right away, it's how well do the Cardinals and other teams do at keeping themselves insulated from the virus getting in, right? I mean, that is both the question of the season, and in some ways it's a competitive question. The teams that do the best job of not having players test positive, the teams that do the best job of playing with the players they want to play more than the players they have to play, that's going to be part of what decides the season if it continues. There's also the injury question. I mean, beyond the threat of the virus, we've got a very schedule-oriented sport that is now going to press the pedal to the floor and try to get ready, and that opens up the door to problems with pitchers, their arms. We're going to see some dead arms, some hurdles there for different teams. We're going to see some soft tissue injuries, and setbacks. So whoever's done the best to keep themselves in shape and whoever ramps up in the best way possible, that's the story. Beyond that, I mean, we can really kind of refresh some of the stories we had headed out of spring training, and probably even add to it. It seemed like the rotation was more or less set exiting spring because Miles Michaelis was hurt. Well, now he's healthy. I just thought the Cardinals would and should go at the six-man rotation, but talking to Schilt the other day, it sounds like they want to get it to five. So that means the competition between Carlos and Kim seems to be back on. That's a huge one.
The other thing, too, is that part of the equation, shorter season and no clear-cut closer, you wonder if they just say, okay, Carlos, it's 60 games, you're the guy, and Kim, it's a left-hander, he's been a starter before. I wonder if they go in that direction. What do you think?
I think they want to see how Carlos pitches when he's back. There's always a little bit of concern as to how Carlos is going to return from a period of time off. And he wasn't in Jupiter. He wasn't in St. Louis. So I think there's always a little bit of, hey, what's he going to look like? Is this stuff going to be good? He had a great spring. Answered all the questions. It looked like he was ready to roll. And if that's how he comes back, then I think you're doing a disservice not to have him in the rotation. Personally, I would think the Cardinals say, hey, 10 starts per starter, let's roll, and we'll get Jack Flaherty more if we need to, if we need to line him up that way as the season progresses. That makes a lot of sense to me. You guys are probably going to be going a little bit shorter because of the delay the ramp up here with the 3 weeks. If your stud pitcher is ready to go more than that, you've got the DH, you can let Jack Flaherty go deeper. But I really am kind of surprised that they're shutting down this notion of a six-man rotation so quickly. But I think part of that is to maybe stir some competition there from the guys who want to be in it. So we'll see if maybe that changes. Schilt seemed like he was pretty determined. But when I asked him, I said, okay, you want a five-man rotation. Who's battling for the fifth spot? He didn't really want to get into, a Carlos versus Kim competition. So, if you have four or five guys you think could be battling for that fifth spot, to me, that just increases the reasoning to have six. But we'll see how that plays out. Again, the main thing is going to be making sure everybody's healthy. I like the idea of Kim starting because here's the thing, Dan, and you saw it during spring. We both did. Nobody's going to know what to think of this guy. His stuff, it's they don't know what to do with it, and they're not going to get time to figure it out in 60 games. We saw him throw pitches in spring that had people leaving the box shaking their head. And to me, the advantage of bringing somebody over that nobody's ever seen before is the sneak attack surprise factor. We saw it with O when he came over as the Cardinals closer. Heck, we saw it with Miles Michaelis in his first season. When a guy's not in the league for a long time and then all of a sudden he's there and good, I think it catches people off guard. So I think they should try to take advantage of that. But if Carlos is what he was like at spring in his final kind of turns, I think you're putting a really good arm in the bullpen when he could very well have a spot in the rotation. So we'll see. Maybe it goes back to six, but it seems like it's scheduling up at least for some healthy competition. I think that's what Schilt wants. He doesn't want these guys treating this as, hey, let's get our legs underneath us and then let's kind of cruise into a season. He's going to go out of his way to make sure they're treating this camp as a competition because I think he thinks it will help them when the game starts.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
Every team is going to say the beginning of the season and a short season, a quick start, a fast start, a good start is imperative. That's where I think the Cardinals could be difference makers in this year because of their pitching and their depth. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about it a lot. It's how do they weaponize their depth? They have all these players, especially these pitchers. Well, there's no minor league season for these guys to develop in. I don't really know what is the development angle in Springfield. I don't really know. I mean, find a way to use these guys, especially early when you are going to be able to have 30 guys there. I mean, the Cardinals are going to have guys without clear roles that would be starting for other teams. Austin Gomber, Daniel Ponce de Leon. I mean, you've got Alex Reyes, who doesn't have his innings aren't going to be a problem. You know, it's a 60 game season. You got Jordan Hicks, who's not going to be ready to start, it doesn't sound like, but will be there soon. I don't mean start as in start games, but start in the bullpen. But he's going to be in there before too long. I mean, you've got some real talent that even if you're giving them, you know, two inning, you know, appearances out of the bullpen, it's kind of no one likes to use the word piggyback because it's like insulting to the starter, but pick another word for it. Who cares? That long relief, if leveraged properly, could be a really nice role for the Cardinals. But I was talking to my colleague Derek Gould about this. You know, the Reds have this lineup that is just scary, right? Why shouldn't the Cardinals be just as scary in their pitching? Roll out a pitching lineup out there that is one inning after the next of just nasty, different stuff that all builds off each other. I think that's the way the Cardinals could really make their mark on this short season.
Really intrigued by the competition in the outfield. Let's not talk about Dylan Carlson. Let's focus on Tyler O'Neill. Let's focus on Lane Thomas and those two. I would assume that Tyler O'Neill gets the first crack at it. And you know what? I'm excited to watch the young man play. It's not going to be a full season, but let's see what he can do. They've cleared roster space for him, so it's a chance to see what this young man can do.
I like that they have the DH option now, because it will even allow maybe that guy who's not starting that day to keep his name in the mix from the DH. And I know the DH is going to bounce around, but call me crazy, it's not hard to imagine them having a day where Tyler O'Neill's the DH and Lane is in the outfield, or vice versa, depending on the matchups, depending on how Matt Carpenter starts and where Tommy Edman is. I mean, they're going to move that spot around, but you know, both of those guys are intriguing. Personally, I'm fascinated by Lane Thomas, man. I think he's a more interesting all around player, but Tyler O'Neill has this power, and I get it. You know, people are very impatient, and I understand it. And everybody likes the idea of Dylan Carlson. I think he'll be here sooner. You know, as soon as that service time window closes, I think he'll be up and in the mix, which is going to put pressure on Harrison Bader and Dexter Fowler. I mean, right now, the Cardinals are saying this is a one-position discussion, left field, and that's giving respect to Harrison Bader and Dexter Fowler. But, you know, the outfield production-wise was a problem last season, and if the two guys who are competing for spots in left field are showing that they're providing more production than the other two starters, then I think it could be pretty soon before you're talking about an outfield-wide, you know, competition for playing time, especially as Carlson enters. So, you know, O'Neill has had 2 60-game sample sizes in the major stand, and it's a little bit misleading, though, because he hasn't really gotten a chance to start all that regularly. He's been pinch hitting. He's been, you know, appearing as a you know, replacement at times. He really hasn't had a chance to say, hey, you know, go out there and play regularly. And I think Lane Thomas would have made, you know, more of a chance to maybe push himself in front of that conversation if he wouldn't have gotten hurt last year. So I'm with you. I'm eager to see what these guys can do. My thing is not so much as, hey, they got to hold off Carlson to give those guys a chance. It's more of what might stop those guys from pushing this competition into more of a left field conversation. I think there's a real chance of that.
You think it's far-fetched? I said this the other day. This is the most important month in the history of North American sports as baseball tries to get back, the NHL, the NBA. Soon enough, we're about 2 weeks away from the rookies of the Texans reporting to camp. So NFL's coming back. Soon enough, you'll have college football and their camp starting. So you get my drift. It's here. The clock is ticking. And for a while, it was just kind of like, well, it'll be here. And, you know, you hope you can get it going. But now it's here. Now it's starting to turn for real. Is it the most important month in the history of North American sports as they try to finish up seasons and get some going?
I think I'm usually pushing back against terms like that, but I don't know how you can disagree with that statement. It's going to be, and this is why I argue, you know, people tell me, well, this World Series will have an asterisk. And I say, first of all, I disagree with that, because to me, an asterisk is like if someone doesn't have a fair opportunity. You know, an asterisk, if one team has an improper advantage, you know, the Astros are stealing signs, that's an asterisk season. This is everybody starting on the same playing field, and there's more significant threats to the season off the field than there probably ever has been in the history of American sports as we know them, with this virus waiting at the door trying to take things down. So to me, that could make these postseasons more remarkable. It could make the championship mean more. And again, I hope we get to see that play out. So most important, sure. Most fascinating, I think, yes, absolutely. I guess you can say it's watered down, but we're all going to be watching, and we're all going to be talking about this for a long time to come. If you gave me a quiz of who was the champion of each season in every sport for the past decade, I couldn't name them all. But I would bet, you know, wherever we are, you know, 10, 20 years from now, we can probably, if we get there, we'll probably be able to name the champions that won these championships, I would guess, because it's such a unique time. So I'm with you on that. I think this is going to be fascinating. I think there's going to be discussions that happen here as we move forward that really have the potential to change the scope of sports. You're already seeing it with college sports. We've got, you know, politicians saying to the people who run the NCAA, how is it possible that you guys don't have an NCAA-wide plan for this virus? And it's calling into question, how is it possible that these players that make all this money for these schools are not being paid? I mean, this is going to have a splintering effect on a lot of different things, and how we cover the game and how we attend games. We don't have all the answers yet, but we're all in this kind of together wondering where it's going to go, and I think that does make it hugely important.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of Scoops with DannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
How about the NHL? Now we're just, I guess, what, 10 days or so from them in Phase 3 coming back to their home cities and then going out to the bubble. So we're pretty close, and the Blues then would try to defend the title. What do you think? Is it going to happen? Is it feasible?
I think there's a chance. I understand why they put it two teams in Canada. I know not everybody might not love that, but it does seem like that's the best location, and you want to put it in a place where you got the best chance of pulling it off. Again, it's going to come down to the same thing we're talking about with baseball. How seriously do the players take it? How well do they do to keep themselves protected from the virus when they're not within the strict kind of rules of hockey? If a bunch of these guys are out and about not wearing masks and doing whatever they want to do when they're not at practices before they go into the hotel bubble, then there's probably gonna be problems. I mean, we've already seen what happened with the MLS hotel down there in Florida. You got to be kind of cleared before you can be thrown into that group, and now there are players on the same teams popping up. Where does it come from? How are they getting it? Could there have been something that decreased their chances? The more and more I read about what we know about coronavirus, and there's a lot that we don't know, the more I'm hesitant to just assume that guys who test positive are going to step out for a couple weeks and then be back. If they don't have symptoms, that there's a chance of that. You know, if guys are asymptomatic, then they can, you know, be out and then they get their negative test and then they're back in and they're not worse off for it. But guys who have symptoms, guys who get, you know, sick and feel the effects of coronavirus, it's going to be a significant amount of time probably before they're ready to play at a high level again. And you read the comments from the Cubs pitching coach who's feeling not fully up to speed, you know, 30 days after his last negative test. You read the stuff that cardiologists are saying about how this could affect the heart and how they're really encouraging a slow build back to athletic activity for athletes who feel symptoms when they get positive tests. Now, ideally, no one gets it, okay? And ideally, if someone gets it, they're asymptomatic. And if that's the case, then, you know, you take guys out, you put somebody in their place, and you bring them back and you keep moving. But if more players get, you know, symptoms from this, then you're going to start missing probably some pretty significant figures. And that's when you start to get into a conversation of, hey, you know, A, is this worth it? B, do people even know the guy's playing? Or are we just filling it in with people that nobody wants to watch? I mean, that's a whole conversation you'd like to avoid. So the bubble theory sounded great, and hopefully it works. But I think we're seeing in some of the conversations talking around MLB and MLS that it's not foolproof either. So it's going to be up to the players to really minimize their risk, and that's banking on the plan working. So I really hope for the Blues that they get a chance, man, because I do think they are. I don't know how you could bet on any other team to win this thing. Their style is very straightforward. They have a coach who's not going to be about the nonsense, and they buy in on his teaching, and I think they'll be geared up and ready to defend their title. They also get the best X factor in the whole game. There isn't a team. I mean, you could argue there isn't a team in professional sports that is going to be better off returning than they were when they left, because the Blues get a healthy Vladimir Tarasenko. This is a 30-goal scorer, a guy who could be, you know, if he's up to speed and fully healthy, and there's no reason to believe he isn't, that's a game changer. And he's rested from having the time off from the shoulder. I mean, they're going to be a real threat, so I hope they get the chance.
You think it's going to be surreal? I'll wrap it up with this, but you think it's going to be surreal for you walking into Busch Stadium tomorrow?
Yeah, man. And I've told myself, like, I kind of made a vow to myself during this time. And I think you have a job where your job, you know, is on during the game. You know, like, you have to be laser focused and in on every pitch. And ideally, you know, I'm the same way in the press box, right? But I'll be honest, like, most of my work comes after the game when I got it right. And, you know, with our deadlines and the need to be on Twitter and all this other stuff that we feel like is important, you know, one of my biggest things over this time has been, like, there have been moments where that I have not been, you know, doing a good enough job of actually just watching the game and appreciating the fact that there's a game being played. And, you know, it can be easy to kind of lose track of that when you're answering emails or whatever, you know, all these other things that come along with the job. And I told myself, like, I'm not going to attend another game, whether it's a high school football scrimmage or a Cardinals baseball game, and not appreciate the fact that I'm watching the game. So that's kind of what I'm carrying back. And it, whether there are people there or not, or whether I can talk to someone in person or not, you know, I'm gonna not take for granted the fact that I'm watching a game from a unique vantage point. So that's kind of that's how I'll be entering there, with gladly wearing a mask and eager to follow all the rules, because I'm excited about seeing something live. I think at this point, if you told me I could get permission to go watch two guys see that they could, you know, have paint dry faster, I'd be in the front row. So
I'm
ready to roll.
Isn't that the truth? Well put. Hey, have a great 4th of July. Enjoy the ballpark, Ben. And as always, thanks for joining us. And we'll talk next Friday. We'll catch up and we'll see where we're at with baseball and other sports next Friday.
Sounds good, brother. I'm looking forward to seeing you from a safe distance here in the near future.
You got it. Thanks, Ben.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.